It is time here on the Night Shift, right around Australia and around the world, to go live to the United States and find out what's going on in the good old US of A with Channel 9 Chief US Correspondent Amelia Adams, who lives right there on the San Andreas Fault in sunny California. And she joins me today. Amelia Adams, good morning and welcome back to the Night Shift, mate.
Thank you, Luke. Good evening. Good morning to you. It is a beautiful sunny morning here in LA. I can tell you, very lucky I am.
Very well, we're very lucky to have you. So thank you for this. Gee, there's some news coming out of the US we need to discuss this morning. Mm. The first one is this photo of the Derek Chauvin juror wearing a Black Lives Matter T-shirt at a march. It's raising questions about that juror's impartiality. And there's talk of a retrial. Is that correct? Take us through this.
Yeah, I mean, what's problematic about this juror as well, as you said, he's been pictured wearing this T-shirt, but he's actually admitted, one of the 12 jurors, that he lied in pre-selection. So there's a questionnaire which jurors all have to fill out, obviously. And one of the questions is, did you or anyone close to you participate in any of the demonstrations that took place after George Floyd's death, in other words, any of those BLM, marches which turned into riots, a lot of them? And he ticked no. And so he's come out in the past few days and said, I ticked no, but actually I did go to one in DC because he's being photographed wearing his T-shirt.
Because he's been photographed,
Yeah, and so that's a major issue. I mean, obviously everyone on that jury would have known about the case, and this is always, an issue. It was so high profile. But yesterday, his legal team, Derek Chauvin's legal team, has requested a new trial, as you said, and they've said, one of the reasons for that is the jury misconduct. There's several grounds. Another one is venue, and his legal team had long said that it couldn't be held in Minnesota because that was where the crime was committed. That was where, those huge riots took place, and it should be at another venue. His team says that the jury committed misconduct, felt threatened, felt intimidated, felt race-based pressure during the proceedings, all of these things, which could lead to a retrial. Now, we don't know where that motion will go next, but as you can imagine, Luke, if Derek Chauvin were to be retried, I think there would be scenes in the streets here, to say the least.
There would be more rioting, correct?
Yeah, undoubtedly. I mean, the lead up to this trial and, the scenes that we saw in the last week of it, and then the people that were gathered outside the courthouse and around the whole country waiting for that verdict, gives you an idea of just, the massive interest and the massive reaction. And I think if he were to be retried, well, we'd see it all over again. But anyway, we'll wait and see where that motion goes to from Derek Chauvin's legal team. But certainly there are several grounds that they're saying should give them a new trial.
Oh, dear, oh, dear, oh, dear. Do we really want it hashed up? You want justice done. You want justice done, but do you really want this hashed up again? The consequences could be just terrible. The divorce of the century, well, certainly the settlement of the century. Yeah. Bill and Melinda Gates, they've decided that they have irreconcilable differences. They've decided to call it quits. People will be watching this with great interest because of the amount of money that's going to change hands. I remember Bill Gates saying years ago that he would like to at least give half of his wealth away as part of philanthropy. He may have half of his wealth taken away anyway now. Amelia, what's the latest with Bill Gates and Melinda? And there's also talk that the children may not get a cent.
No, I mean, it sounds like, I've had a read of the court papers that were actually filed by, a divorce paper that were filed by Melinda, and she refers to irreversible damage, the reason for the marriage. They didn't have a prenuptial agreement, even though, he was a billionaire when they were married already.
No prenup? Wow.
1994, no prenup, despite his billions. But it sounds like they've had a plan in place for a while, and he's hired this very famous 97-year-old lawyer to split up their assets. But as you said, what an estate. He's the fourth richest man in the world, according to Forbes. Their fortune's around $160 billion. And they've got, my goodness, the real estate portfolio, Luke, the luxury car collection, the artwork, the private jet. They've got a lot to split. And as you mentioned, the kids, they've got three children. I think the youngest is 18, so about 18.
Phoebe.
20,
yeah, Phoebe's
18. They're all grown up.
But apparently, or reportedly, the children weren't allowed mobile phones until they were 14. And that Bill Gates was on record saying that you should never leave your children so much money that they don't have a reason to get up in the morning.
No, and I think that's probably quite wise. They're going to inherit, he has said in the past, 10 million Americans. So that's 13 million roughly Australian dollars each, which, look, it's not that bad, is it? I mean, you could do a lot worse.
That's doing it tough.
And to be honest, with the education and the upbringing that they've had and the circles they're in, you know, they're going to be okay. They're all going to be okay. But it's going to be interesting. And I think it's not going to top the Bezos. Do you remember the Jeff Bezos, Amazon's billionaire Bezos divorce? I think it was finally settled last year, but it was 2019. And his wife walked away with something like $47 billion. I mean, can you imagine? But, you know, like her, Melinda Gates, and even more so really, is a very, very powerful philanthropist in her own right. And she, you know, as you mentioned, their whole ethos is sort of giving away so much of their money to people who need it. And I guess that goes to his comment about his children. You give a lot of money to people who need it and not to people who don't.
There are some great Bill Gates stories going around. A mate of mine's got a ripper. He went to see the Dream Team at the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, and it was out at Homebush, and it was a lottery to get your seats. You couldn't, you know, book your seats. You just entered the lottery and you got them, and he got these great seats. And he took a selfie of himself. This is back when selfies were very, very new, 2000. But he took a photo of himself on his phone, and two rows behind him was Bill Gates. And he sent it out to everybody. He said, I got better seats than Bill Gates. It's a great photo.
photo bomb of the century.
It was very, very funny. Now, let's get to Donald Trump. Facebook have upheld its ban on Donald Trump. Take us through this.
Yeah, so this is big news. This decision came through this morning from Facebook's oversight board. And it was about his ban. So, you know, as you'd remember, Donald Trump was banned from Facebook and Instagram in the hours after the January 6th insurrection. And he had been posting that day, obviously, and they decided that he had incited violence in his posts and they banned him. And, you know, it was huge news. I can remember being there and, you know, it was the first time Facebook had ever banned a world leader or a politician, certainly, for content. And so today that decision was reviewed and the board has upheld that decision. But interestingly, Luke, in the decision, this is Facebook's own oversight board, says it was not appropriate for Facebook to impose the indeterminate penalty of indefinite suspension. Facebook's normal penalties include removing the violating content, imposing a time-bound period of suspension, or permanently disabling the page and account. So the board is insisting that Facebook look into the matter, justify a response that's consistent with its own rules and review the matter basically within 6 months. So Donald Trump will not be coming back to Facebook or Instagram anytime soon. And he's been very quick to respond, which is no surprise. And I'm just going to open up the statement, which I just got emailed from the man himself. His statement: what Facebook, Twitter and Google have done is a disgrace and an embarrassment to our country. He says free speech has been taken away from the President of the United States because the radical left lunatics are afraid of the truth, but the truth will come out anyway. He goes on to say these corrupt social media companies must pay a political price and must never again be allowed to destroy and decimate our electoral process. So strong words from him is expected. What's interesting is that yesterday, I think obviously getting ahead of this decision, Donald Trump launched a new platform.
All right.
Called From the Desk of Donald Trump, the website. And basically all of his statements, like the one I just read you, which we get emailed, they're short. They're almost like tweets. You know, he's been sending these out daily. And he uploads them to this new website, and they've all got these Facebook, Twitter, Instagram buttons next to them. So all his followers can just directly share them to the platforms that he's been banned from. So he's sort of circumnavigated in a way. But I think this is significant because, you know, A, it really raises questions about big tech. You know, what are their powers in censoring any of their users, really, for any period of time? It's also really important to, when you, in the context of Donald Trump's political comeback, he's teased, you know, running in 2024, as we've discussed several times in the last few weeks. I think he was probably counting on Facebook. It is a, it's an important platform for him, especially in terms of fundraising. You know, he spent a lot on ads in the lead up to the last election. So it's an interesting one.
Do you reckon he'll run again?
I think he, my gut is that he will. He's been talking that way, and you know, he is still incredibly popular among the Republican Party, which is in, you know, some state of disarray at the moment, to be fair. He's losing the support of, you know, he's lost the support of Mitch McConnell, which is significant. But you have to look at his support among Republican voters and Americans, and that's where he's still, honestly, he's still a god to those people.
Well, it's a way off yet. We'll have to wait and see, but he's still there. He may have been banned from Facebook, but he's still there in our faces, Donald Trump. That's big news. That's breaking news overnight. Facebook has upheld its ban on the former president. Just quickly, what are people in the United States saying about the wokefulness surrounding Disneyland and Snow White? Can you believe this story? Amelia Adams from Channel 9, live from America. What are they saying today about Snow White Gate?
Oh, I just had to roll my eyes when I read this. I mean, you know, to say that the handsome prince shouldn't have kissed Snow White because what, she was asleep and there was no consent, that's the argument.
Yeah.
Do we need to rewrite every single fairy tale? Do we need to rewrite history? I mean, I think we can teach consent without outlawing Snow White, which is clearly a fable, can't we? I've only heard bad reaction to this, but then I've probably, those are the only sources that I've been watching. I haven't come across anyone who supports the idea of banning this ride or that part of the ride. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, there's other issues. There are other issues that need to be taken into account. We've just had a police officer from Victoria ring who's got grave concerns about Goldilocks, who clearly could have been charged with break and enter.
Mm, yep. Well, that's exactly right. And theft, not to mention theft, you know, she ate the porridge. I mean, how much road do we want to go?
And in the Three Little Pigs, if the big bad wolf did indeed huff and puff and blow their houses down, there's deliberate damage. But also, did he huff and puff during the pandemic without wearing a mask?
Oh, can you imagine? I tell you what, if he did that in Los Angeles, he would have been thrown in jail. But quite seriously, Luke, I mean, my concern here is that we're adults, we're humans, we're adults teaching children. With all of these things that come up, you just think, can't we use our brains and our common sense and separate the issues? You know, is looking at something like this Snow White issue, is that really undoing teaching about consent or teaching women that it's okay for men to kiss them when they're asleep? I mean, come on.
I want to ask you, Amelia, if you were in a coma because a wicked witch, possibly your stepmother. It's a grey area here with fairy tales. It's usually an evil stepmother. But had she deliberately given you a poison apple that put you in a coma, would you be thankful if Prince Charming came and brought you out of the coma?
I'd be thankful if any handsome man kissed me at any point to bring me out of the coma. I mean, you know.
Amelia, love your work. Thank you for bringing us a little snapshot of the United States. Appreciate that. We'll talk again next week, will we?
Yes, we will. Talk to you then. Thanks, Luke.
Thank you. Amelia Adams, Channel 9 senior correspondent, live from the United States here on The Night Shift on Triple M.